Praise God.
Glory to God.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen.
We're happy, aren't we?
We are.
God is good. Open your Bibles, please, to John 19, verse 38. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful and thankful for our first-time visitors. We're glad you're here today. And we bless you today. Thank you for coming. And we promise we won't scare you. Praise the Lord. Hey, Brenda. Praise the Lord. Rachel just sent me the funniest video of this girl talking on the phone, and she got invited by Big Betty over to the Pentecostal church, and she says, "I don't know if I can jump those pews." It's real cute. It's real funny. You need to look it up. It's real funny. It's real light. And they're Baptist girls, and they're, it's not insulting to any of our Pentecostal friends. It's really sweet. But it's really cute. You should see it. Are you there? All right, John 19:38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, begged of Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave permission. Then he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus came also, who at first came to Jesus by night and brought him a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it with linens, with the spices, as is the custom of the Jews to bury. And in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been placed. Then, because of the preparation of the Jews, there were Sabbaths hooked together. Because it was Passover and because, the Sabbath day was coming, they had to get ready for that. They were together. There was a 48-hour Passover. I mean, Sabbath day. Because Passover is considered a Sabbath day. So that's what that means. So, because the tomb was near, they laid Jesus. Now, so, Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate and he asks for the body. And that is a surprise visit because Joseph of Arimathea is a member of the Sanhedrin. Anybody know what Sanhedrin is? Okay, so they're the council. They're the big, we would say in Texas, they're the big dogs, right? And so, but Joseph of Arimathea, he is a secret follower of Jesus. He's thinking outside of their circle. He's not like the rest of the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin. He thinks differently, and he's been listening to Jesus, and he loved Jesus. Now, this guy had a very good reputation, and he was very wealthy. And so he was prominent. He was influential. And he is a man who's looking for the kingdom of God. He wants to know. And when he sees Jesus, he's recognizing that he is someone important, that he is the Messiah. And so he's taken a huge chance because of who he is. You get that? And so he gets Jesus's body and they put him in a tomb. It's a very expensive tomb that belonged to the family. And this is what you need to get. No one had ever been there before. So Jesus is actually getting expensive, honorable first fruits. Yeah. See that? They're honoring his body by giving him something that is worth something. And then we see Nicodemus. And so, you know Nicodemus. You must be born again. John 3. Okay. And so he's also open-minded. And he called Jesus rabbi. Now, Jews loved to be called rabbi, teacher. They loved it. And they believed that they were the chief keepers of the law. And so if you had the title rabbi, that was somebody. You were somebody. So here we have Nicodemus calling him rabbi. So he brings in this huge mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100-pound weight. Very expensive, very rare. So you have this tomb that is rare, and then you have these expensive items here that they're going to use for his burial. Very rare. They love Jesus dearly. How many of you love Jesus dearly? Amen. So their heart is with him, and they are going to give him something even at his death. They're going to honor him. So, you know, when we look at our finances today, do we see Jesus as the highest priority? You know, they say if you want to see what's in your heart, you can look at your pocketbook. You can look at your purse and you'll know what's important to you. And I'm just blessed to say that I'm around people today that do that. They know and they understand, and they do show Jesus the highest priority. And I'm so blessed to have friends like you, to live with you. And so, people like you, you prove every day how important God is. Dear ones, that's who you are to God. You're dear to him. You're dear to me. And I'm just so grateful that you spend your time and your money to support what's going on here, what Jesus is doing in Victory Church. Very grateful. So I just want you to remember today, as you tithe, as you sow, that you're going to reap a harvest, because the Bible says that if you give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give unto your pockets. Giving is the way you make your living. If you give to God, you can't outgive him. He'll give to you. So I'm going to upgrade my giving, and Jesus is going to upgrade my living. Amen. Nothing wrong with having some prosperity, folks. That's how we get things done. We're blessed. We're not going to fall into some kind of religion that says we need to be poor. We're falling into the Bible truth that says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So, Father, we thank you today, and we thank you for Jesus today. And we thank you, Lord, for every offering and every tithe that is coming in today. It is blessed. Hey, it's blessed by the rabbi today, Jesus himself, the rabbi, the high priest of our confession. The Bible says that there he receives the tithe and he ministers it to the Father in Hebrews. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And so we ask you to receive it today. We love you, Lord, and we honor you today with everything that is in us, including our finances, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. It's good to be like Nick and Joe, huh? Nick and Joe, praise the Lord. I wonder if they called them that. I don't, probably not. No. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many came to clean the church yesterday? Please stand if you cleaned the church yesterday. Thank you, 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 thank you. So blessed. Thank you, guys. Y'all are so wonderful. It was an interesting weekend to have to do that, because I know everybody's so busy, but we're just so grateful. And then, of course, we bless those of you that clean it every week. Amen. We thank God that this building is set up for honor. We can honor God here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go now to Matthew 28, verse 1. The PKs are in the house right here.
Amen.
Here they are right here. And everybody know what a PK is? Preacher's kids, right here. This is my son, Toby. This is my daughter-in-love. We don't have law. We have daughter-in-love, Megan. And this is the one that hung the moon, Carter Jones. Praise the Lord. God is good. That's who you hear about all the time. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, Matthew 28, 1. You there? Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Y'all there? Do I need to wait for you? Okay. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. This is not a fairy tale. This happened. All four Gospels report it. History reports. Something happened on that day. His countenance was like lightning, talk about the angel, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And by the way, there weren't two guards there.
No.
There were many guards there. Church, there were over 600 police officers that came to arrest Jesus.
Yeah.
And when he said, "I am," they all fell down on the ground.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Remember that guy that Peter cut his ear off?
Yeah.
Be like, what was that all about? Why did that happen? Why did Jesus, you say, Jesus is so sweet to that man who was arresting him. And he put his ear back on. Peter was going to get him. And Jesus is so sweet to him. Well, he was. But think about this. If that ear had stayed on the ground, Peter would have gone to jail.
Yep, that's right.
So he had more than one thing on his mind.
Wow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was his son in the Lord there, his disciple. So two good things done. That was free. Let's go on. Okay, so the angel answered, verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen." Yay. "As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. Church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in human history. There's no question about that. There's no doubt about that. It's more important than Christmas. It's more important than any other day. The resurrection day is the most important day on our calendar. Amen. If Jesus didn't die, if Jesus didn't resurrect, then there's no reason at all for us to be here. If this is a lie, there's no reason to be here. But this is the truth. Amen. Jesus conquered death, and so you conquered death.
Amen.
Amen. So today we're celebrating Resurrection Day, and we're so grateful to Jesus. I am, are you?
Yes.
And so, you know, the thing about Jesus is he came to earth as a man, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he showed us what kind of people we could be, taking steps like a normal person could do when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we see on top of that, he took the judgment, he took the punishment, he took the beating, he took the spitting. They pulled his whiskers out. They cursed him. They made fun of him. They gambled away his seamless garment. They rejected him, and they crucified him, and he did it all for you and me. It was all done for you and me. So he was our Passover lamb. He is our Passover lamb. His life for ours. That's what happened. And so we don't make light of that horrible punishment. The Bible said that he was marred beyond recognition. This man was so beaten and so bloody that you could not recognize him. He took every sin. See, what some people leave out, he wasn't just beaten. He took on sickness and sin. He became sin for us. He became sin. Sickness was put on him for us. Amen. And so we don't have to be caught up in any sin, and we don't have to be caught up in any sickness. He paid. Thank you, Jesus. I am so glad for the resurrection. The greatest day, the greatest victory that ever happened. And I just pray exactly like the Apostle Paul prayed, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
That I may know him and know the power. I want the resurrection to have the proper influence on my mind.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it. I've watched some stuff on it. I want to think about what really happened when he was raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's no truth that has any greater power than this revelation that Jesus was raised from the dead. You got to get that. You got to understand that. Listen, sometimes you've been in church so long, and sometimes you get a little bit numb over the things that Jesus did. This is a time where you actually have to dig down and think about these things we're saying. Wait a minute. Jesus did this. He did this for me. The God of the universe took off his glory, came into the earth, acted like a man, walked around on the earth, baptized in the Holy Spirit, healed the sick, he raised the dead, he changed people's life, he loved people, he walked unoffended, then he goes and is just marred beyond recognition for us, and then he's resurrected. What? That is definitely the greatest story ever told right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to know, I want to let that have proper influence on my mind. To know something, to perceive something. In the Greek, it really kind of means perceive, but in Hebrew, it means to know intimately. It means that you're intimately aware of what happened. You let it get to you. Amen. You're intimately acquainted. And then when you become intimately acquainted with what goes on in the Word of God, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're thinking about it and new things happen. I tell you, church, I was studying this. I was sitting at my desk and I was just studying this. Now, I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. That's a long time. I know I look so young, but I mean, it is a long time ago. But the interesting thing is, and every year, and I've been a preacher for 30 years, so every year it seems to get deeper. This resurrection, this truth seems to get deeper. I was sitting there studying, and I read what I've read for years, and all of a sudden, something in my heart went to a higher place than ever before. And it was really brief, but it was just a beautiful place in the glory of God. And I tell you, I've been reaching back for that ever since it kind of faded away that afternoon. I was like, I gotta have that again. There's no high like the Most High. Amen. So, you know, this is a fact check world. Have y'all seen that? That everything's written opinion, fact check, politics, fact check. So it's a fact check world. And so people put their opinions out now as news. Now, I don't think there's anyone listening to me that doesn't know that. They put their opinions out as news. They pass on the spin, the one they like. And now though, with all the social platforms and the news programs, you can just choose whichever propaganda you want to listen to. Yeah. It's true. Whatever you want to partake in, you can partake in whatever you choose to. But then to top that off, there's fact checking going on. Y'all hear? I'm not saying fat. I'm saying fact. Y'all hear that? Yeah. Nobody's checking your fat. Okay. So fact checking. We needed a good laugh right there. Y'all are looking pretty sleepy, so. So there's fact checking going on, right? And so whoever's putting out the check could be not telling the truth either.
Right. Yeah.
Am I right? So then you have to choose on that too. So there are facts that do appear to really have some substantial weight, but there are facts. Mm-hmm. So, but in our world, we live differently. There's a truth above every fact. We live in a higher law. We live in the kingdom of God. And so there are higher laws that can't be seen in this natural world, but if you believe them and you confess them, they manifest in this natural world. Am I right? Come on, I'm preaching to a Word of Faith church. Okay. All right. So, The fact is, Jesus died. You don't even have to check that. He died. All the way. The reason, why 3 days? Because there was a Jewish belief that the soul stayed in the body for 3 days. And if he was raised before that, people could say, oh, he never really died. Okay. But God planned it perfectly, and he is absolutely, was absolutely dead. He died. Okay? So, the propaganda of the day was that his followers stole the body. So that's going around. They're all texting that. No, that's right. They didn't have that then. They're telling that. They're telling the news. Oh, the followers came. They got in there somehow. They stole the body. But the truth is that he raised from the dead. The fact is he died. The propaganda is that it didn't really happen. But the truth is that he rose from the dead. Now, that has to have proper influence on your mind, or you wouldn't have come today, unless your mama made you come. Right? Or your wife, or your husband. But you came basically believing, yeah, I'm going to go celebrate because Jesus rose from the dead and he paid for me. That's why you're here, right? And then most of you come every Sunday because you believe that. You believe that. That's your truth. Have y'all, you know what trends now is, well, I have my own truth. Have y'all seen that? People have their own truth. You don't have your own truth. You either have God's truth or the enemy's truth. Either the enemy's lying to you and you're believing, or you're picking up God's truth. Those are the only two things, only two way your mind is going. You may not know that, but if you read enough Bible, you're going to find out that's the truth. Either you're listening to the darkness or you're listening to the light. Hey, those people that drew the little devils on the shoulder and the angel on the shoulder, they really weren't that far off, because that's exactly what's going on with you. Something's talking to you.
Yeah.
Is sickness talking to you? Is lack talking to you? Is defeat talking to you? Or is resurrection talking to you? Is life talking to you? Because you're going to have to make a decision about that and let whichever one you want to talk to you, talk to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just pray that the influence today would just deepen and that you would be transformed out of a mediocre life. You can live so much better. You can live so much higher. You don't have to walk around depressed. You don't have to be mad at the world all the time. You don't have to be defeated all the time. You don't have to be limping all the time. You have to be sick all the time. You can have a good life. And that's not religion. That's just you and God. We can do it without a lot of religion and a lot of rules. We need Jesus. Church, I'm going to tell you something that shocks the religious world, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus did not come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. He came to make dead men live. People were dead on the inside. Once you get some life on the inside of you, goodness will flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, I just pray that it deepens for us today. You can't believe God or what's in your spirit and believe the natural facts at the same time. You're going to have to let one have ascendancy over the other. That's why we read the word. That's why we listen to preaching. So that preaching gets in there, that word gets in there, and it causes your spirit to rise up in ascendancy, and then you start having success. Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
It's the truth. It's going to be all about how you let this affect your thinking. So you want to let your spirit take charge. The truth about the resurrection is that's exactly what it does. It helps your spirit take charge. Amen. Well, you don't know the bad news I got. I would venture to say that every person in here has gotten some kind of bad news at one time or another. And some of it bad, all the way to death. Things you didn't want to hear. But God. But resurrection. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It causes your spirit to take over the doubt and the unbelief. To know the power of the resurrection. Think about what happened in those hours, in those days. Jesus took the punishment. He died. His body was buried. He died. This is something that maybe some people leave out. And maybe you don't know. Jesus died spiritually. Jesus went to hell. Oh, yes, he did. If he didn't, you'll have to. He went into hell as a dead spirit. Here comes Satan and all his guys. Just kind of get the picture. There he is in the depths of the earth, down in Hades, and it's yucky, and this is where the darkness is controlling everything. And they start getting all over him and doing all their stuff, thousands and thousands times more of anything you've ever felt. Amen. But something interesting happened while his dead spirit was there. If he didn't die spiritually, you couldn't be raised spiritually, because Jesus was born again in hell. The Bible says that the glory of God raised Jesus from the dead. Here's your proof right here. The book of Timothy says God justified him in the spirit. He made him alive in the spirit. So Jesus was born again before his body was raised, because the scripture said that he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. He beat them. He did that in the spirit world, church. He whipped them in the spirit world. I mean, you think about your favorite superhero, bam, 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 whatever they're doing. Jesus is way more than that. What he did was he totally shut hell down.
Wow.
And what you need to understand, and you need to let this influence your mind, is Satan is defeated.
Yes.
He's defeated.
Yes.
He has one tool, and you know what it is. Deception. He tries to deceive you so you will open your powerful mouth and use your own authority against your own self.
Wow.
Or other people.
Yes.
That's how it works. Because the same power that conquered the grave is living in you. And Jesus said that he was given all authority. Did it? And it said that he gave it to you. And so now we here with this, we have this believer's authority on, and the devil tries to, church, he's dead. He does not know what you're thinking. God does. The devil does not know what you're thinking. He's waiting and watching for words. What are they going to say? Because once they say it, then I can pounce. But he can't do it if you don't do it. If you don't give him the words, he doesn't have anything. If he, all he tries to do is tell you little lies. Just tell you lies. Ouch, that hurt. Oh, that's going to kill you. Oh, well, now you're really broke. Well, now everybody hates you. Well, now, well, you have this, you have that. He's got a flip chart. And he'll use it on you every day if you empower him. Mm. He'll take that deception right into a manifestation. Yeah. However, God works that way on the other side. Yeah. If you give God God words, God believes everything he says, does he? He believes everything he says. So if you have God's word and you're speaking God's word, then God's word is creative. It has to come to pass. So you can't lose. You need to start believing that.
Amen.
Amen. That was free. Praise the Lord. Having put off from himself principalities and powers. Isn't that good? So he's justified, then he's made alive. He hurls back at the host of darkness. He paralyzes their power, and he takes the keys of death and hell.
Glory to God.
He conquered Satan. He stripped him of his authority. Those keys represent authority, church. And so he becomes master of hell. But the thing about it is he did not conquer for himself. He conquered for you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let this mind be in you, church. He paid for your sins. You are redeemed. He paid for your sickness and disease. By his stripes you were healed. He paid your way to heaven, and that's wonderful. When you leave your body, you're not going to die if you're born again. Your body may kick you out, or you may decide when you're going to go. I hope you pick number two. But you're going to live forever. In the kingdom of God. It's good. Yeah. There's no deceiver there.
No. Hallelujah.
But I tell you what, you can live pretty good here on earth if you'll believe it.
Yeah.
If you'll believe for heaven on earth, you can have it.
Amen.
Amen. So, Jesus became master of hell, and you became master over hell. You became the master of hell over your life. Take authority over it. Open your mouth and say something. You're seated with Christ. Hell is under your feet. Listen, it may not have seemed like it, even right up to this moment, right now. It's 11:09 right now. Right now, maybe it didn't seem like it right up to 11:09 right now. But I'm telling you this, whatever the problem is, it's defeated. Right now. Take that. Now faith is. Right now. Thank you, Lord. This ought to make you happy. Some of y'all look like you're on jury duty today. Praise the Lord. I believe you're going to get happy before we're done. Resurrection power is the answer to every situation, every problem, every circumstance, every sickness, every disease, and every abuse. Resurrection power. There were once giants on this earth. Now they're spiritual giants on the earth. That's us. We're the spiritual giants on this earth. And we have a lot of liberty to use that power.
Yes, we do.
It was just as if you personally met Satan and took him down. That's what Jesus did for you. He took him down. You know, the religious people thought they ridded themselves of Jesus. But he just came out of that tomb and birthed millions of little Jesuses. And that's who we are. We're Jesus, little Jesuses, right? We're Christians, little Christs. Mm-hmm. We're anointed. And the anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. Right. And he gave us a new kind of love. Yeah. We love differently. We only had refined selfishness. But now we can love. Amen? Church, there's no solution for the human problem outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's none. He is the total answer. And we're not just saved to barely make it along to get to heaven. I pray that today that you get that. Maybe you're a little new to the Word of God or the messages, but yeah, God's not expecting you to just try to make it until that day you get to go in the rapture or go in heaven. He expects you to get to have a good life right now.
That's right.
He is giving you that. It can be good now. Amen. It doesn't have to be a bad day every other day.
That's
because
right.
You think you need to suffer. You,
no.
What you do is you receive Jesus' suffering. He paid for you. You're never going to suffer like that. He's already taken care of that. Amen. The new creation is the master, and that's us. Today you may say, well, you know, I do believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I believe in resurrection power. But I just don't know how to make it work, Pastor. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how this happens. Well, the how-tos are important. It's a good question. Knowing what you know, believing what you believe, how does that work? Well, I can answer that question with a question. How was Jesus raised from the dead? The Word. The Word raised Jesus from the dead. He prophesied his own resurrection. You remember that? He prophesied his own resurrection. Matthew 16:21. He told them that he would rise on the third day. So he spoke it out. This is what I'm going to do. This is what's going to happen. Do you wonder why he was quiet when he was going through all that? The reason why he was quiet, because if he opened his mouth, legions of angels would have come and saved him. He had to be quiet. Do you remember what they said, oh, the Jews killed Jesus. No, they didn't. Well, the Romans killed Jesus. No, they didn't. Us and our sins, we killed Jesus. No, we didn't. Jesus said he gave his life. He said, no man can take my life. I give it. He gave his life for us. See how people get this kind of stuff mixed up? He gave his life for us. He released his authority and power and took on all that he took on. And he raised from the dead by the power of God. So what you need to do is you need to prophesy your future. What kind of future are you going to have? Are you stuck right now? You stuck? Or you don't know what to do with so-and-so, or this is happening, or what's going to go on? It's time to start prophesying what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
No going around with a pity party. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up. Get up and say what you want. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I believe in resurrection power, and I now know how to put it to work. You say what you want. Amen.
Amen.
Church, when people hurt you or harm you, that's fruit. That's fruit, okay? When sickness attacks you, that's fruit. When lack attacks, lack of finances or lack of love or whatever it is, that's fruit. So the fruit is coming from where? The root. Deal with the root and you'll change the fruit. You have to deal with the root. The most powerful way to deal with a root system spiritually is by giving it. Are you listening to me? This is how you're going to deal with it. Give it a faith filled declaration from your spirit. Launched from your spirit. You remember the fig tree story? Jesus sees a religious fig tree. It's got pretty leaves, but it doesn't have any good fruit, right? And what does he say? No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Those are your words right there that you need to be speaking about. Those are your words. So if you don't like here and thereafter, just say this. Not eating that fruit anymore. You shall not eat. My children will not eat that fruit anymore. That we will not eat that fruit. America is not going to continue to eat this fruit. Here, no more. It's over. Declare what you want.
Yes.
He did it with those few words. Mm-hmm. And they walked by, and what happened? The tree died at the root. Yes. The tree died at the root. You can get rid of the trouble by going to the root. Yes. Speak to the root. That's how resurrection power works. You talk to something with your own, with the power that Jesus gave you. Okay? So, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus spoke to the fig tree because of the fruit situation. What's your fruit situation? What's the fruit situation around you? You got some good fruit? Good. Leave it. Eat it. But if there's bad fruit coming forth, no man eat fruit of you anymore.
Amen.
No man eat fruit of you. Cancer? No man eat fruit of you anymore.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Hey, let's go simple here. Indigestion? No fruit. No man eat fruit. I'm not eating that fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Diabetes, I'm not eating that fruit. Another day. It's canceled in Jesus' name. No job. I'm not, no more, no more. Talk to it. Say something. Make a declaration. The Bible says if you decree a thing, it shall be established and the Lord will light your path. You have to say where you're going. Life is like paths, like you're going somewhere on a road. And if you'll say what you want, the Lord will help you take that path to the answer you really want. I'll just keep going in circles. You wonder why you keep going in circles? Because you keep saying, I keep going in circles. But if you will say, I'm taking the path of the Lord, I'm using the word of the... Jesus only spoke what God spoke. Why? Why did he only speak? He listened to God. He only spoke what the Father said. Why? Because the Father's words come to pass. And if you ask God, what should I say over this situation? I know that I know that I know that Jesus said, look at this fig tree, Father. What should we say about this fig tree? And he downloaded right there, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever.
Wow.
That's powerful, isn't it?
It is.
Amen.
It really is.
Praise the Lord. Change the situation. Change the circumstance. To know the power of his resurrection. It's really this simple. It takes something dead and it makes it alive. Are you living in the death cycle? Are you living in the curse cycle? Are you living in the light? Amen. The Word of God provides resurrection power for us. And who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. Do you remember what Jesus said to Lazarus, to Martha at Lazarus' tomb? You remember that? He said this in John 11:25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may be dead, he shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." When people believe that, they know that when they take their last breath on earth, they're just stepping over into a new place, living their next chapter, a very long one, in a wonderful place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am the resurrection. I am the life. The whole power to impart, maintain, and restore life resides in me. That's what Jesus said. Listen, church, right here before we close, I want you to get this thing. I talked about it when we started, and I want to mention it again. If you have overcome sin and guilt, which you should have because Jesus paid, you don't need to go around feeling guilty. You don't need false guilt. You need to be okay with yourself. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Hey, join the club. God knows what you've done. He loves you, okay? He paid. He gave you the free. He paid for every sin you've ever done and every one that you're going to do. He knows. Amen?
Amen.
But here's the thing. If you've overcome sin and guilt by the power of the resurrection, listen to me, you've overcome sickness as well.
Yes,
yes. Yes, you have. Because the truth is that sin and sickness are the same to God. They're the same. He doesn't want either one of them ruining your life. Sickness has been condemned just like sin. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. Well, you know, maybe the Lord gave me this thorn in the flesh because I was bad. Now I need to take me down a few levels. That's not Bible, church. It's not Bible. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. The thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. That's what a problem religious people get into is they don't go in and read what the Bible really says. Paul did not have an eye disease. He had somebody talking and yapping and persecuting him, which was it when it says they were trying to keep him down. It wasn't his pride they're trying to keep down. He would have been exalted to preach the gospel, and they were trying to hold him in his place. That's what was going on in there. But what about Job? What about Job? What about Job? What about Job? He brought it on himself. The Bible says what he feared came upon him. God did not say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. God didn't say that. Job said that. And God said, you spoke wrongly of me.
Amen. That's right.
Read the Bible. Study the Bible. You don't have any doctrinal, scriptural proof that God put sickness on you. Jesus healed them all. Jesus said a kingdom divided does what? Can't stand. So God can't put sickness on you and then Jesus heal you. He didn't put, oh, I'm going to give that woman with the issue of blood 12 years of bleeding. No. I'll give them leprosy. He didn't do that. That's the devil's job. And he's self-employed. He's not. God doesn't have him on a chain and letting him out to see if he can. No. Sickness can go as easy as sin can go. It does not need to ruin your life. They have both been found guilty in the court of heaven. And they've both been paid for by Jesus. In the court of heaven, we plead the blood. Our sins are wiped away. They're not covered. I heard someone say that recently. God, the blood covered you. God, the blood didn't cover your sin. It canceled it. It's gone. It's wiped away. Live in freedom. Amen. Sickness has no right in your body. listen to me, and you have no right to leave it there, to sympathize with it, or harbor it, or console it.
Wow. Yeah.
You're consoling the enemy of God, who is under indictment.
Wow.
Thank you. That's the truth. Sometimes we have to get tough with this thing. Well, but poor me, I've got all this. You don't have to. We do sympathize with you if you're hurting. We do, and so does Jesus. We sympathize with you. We have compassion for you. But it can be gone. It can leave you. You're just going to have to stop courting the sickness. You're going to have to say what you want.
Yes. Amen.
I don't care. I hope that today that I just got on somebody's last nerve about thinking that sickness comes from God.
Yep.
You need to talk to God about that.
Yep. That's right.
I can remember 30 years ago when I found this truth out. I was mad. My parents both died, and we didn't know that it wasn't God. And then I met these people who taught me this, and I thought, well, they're arrogant. That's what I thought. And the Lord spoke to me on a flight home from Denver and said, they are right, and you're wrong. So I went after it to prove it for myself, and you know what? They were right, and I was wrong. Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
Jesus will take care of it. He'll take care of it. Let it go. Let it go today. There's enough power in this room right now for your heart to be whole. There's enough power in this room for your liver to be healed. There's enough power in this room right now for your eyesight to get better. There's enough power for your joints to quit hurting. There's enough power in here for your youth to be renewed like the eagles. There's enough power in here for your guilt to go away. You don't need any false guilt. If you feel guilty about something, go to God, tell him about it, get it over with. You're the righteousness of God and move forward. You don't need to dwell in all that stuff. You're all right.
That's right.
We don't need people beating the sheep.
That's right.
You need to be able to live and graze and get good food and get strong and grow up in the things of God and eat well in the spirit and do what you need to do, and you'll become an influence for the kingdom of God. Amen. I can't help it. I just feel like I'm under. Stop it.
Amen.
Stop it.
Yes.
Don't give the devil that.
No.
I will rise up. I will win. No matter what the weapon is, I win. No matter what it is, I win. No matter. Well, what if you say that and you die in the next 10 minutes? I would win.
Hallelujah.
But that's not going to happen. But that's just the truth. I'd rather go out like that than going, the devil took me out. I don't want to face Jesus like that.
No.
We win.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to have to say this. This wasn't part of my message, but I've got 3 minutes, so I'm going to tell this because somebody needs to hear it. What about the people that we love who died, who we thought were believing?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to put your thoughts there.
Yeah.
It happened. You don't know why. You'll get your answer in heaven. Yeah. You need to leave it alone. You need to base your answers on the Word and not what happened to people.
True.
The Word. Remember, the Word is the truth.
Yeah.
The Word is the truth. Yeah, well, how come Pastor John left early? The Word is still the truth.
Yeah.
Well, what about so-and-so, that TV preacher, and he left? The Word is the truth. Well, how about Aunt so-and-so? The Word is the truth. Well, what about... Listen, people go home early sometimes because they run out of time before they get their faith in the right place. That happens sometimes. You don't be that person. But if they do, guess what? They're in a glorious place, and they just want to see you run the race and be happy.
That's right.
Amen. The Word is the truth. Let it have final authority. Amen?
Amen.
Stop consoling the enemy of God. Disease has no right in your body and no power to stay there if you take sides with Jesus. So today's your day to go free.
Hallelujah.
If you can think of anything right now as we close in the next 45 seconds. Right now, anything you can think of that you want to be rid of, talk to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I thank you that we're free from sin, we're free from guilt, we're free from hell, we're free from death, we're free from hell on earth, we're free from sickness and disease, we're free from poverty, we're free from lack, we're free from a loveless existence. And we're in our path on the way you want us to go, enjoying what you have done for us. We receive Jesus and we receive resurrection power. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Whatever it is, I believe it's gone.
Yes.
Every satanic squatter out of this house in Jesus' name. And we want you to stay.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you, maybe you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, maybe you've, I know most of you, but maybe you've never confessed Him publicly. And, you know, receiving Jesus, going to heaven is this simple. It's this simple. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. And then your spirit turns on. You know, people that sit through what I've just been doing, if their light's not on or their light is weak, it takes you a little while to get powered up. But the first thing you got to do is get that light on. You got to get your spirit turned on. And so the easiest thing to do is to just confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And then faith is used. Those two things are used for everything you do in life. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Every single thing that you do will be based on that. Amen. Is there anyone here today that needs to pray? Are we all born again believers in the house? Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you that you've delivered us every day in Jesus' name. Jesus, thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being the resurrection. You are the reason that seeds sprout. You are the reason the bluebonnets are in the fields today. You are the reason that the little baby came to church this morning. We have a little baby. I think they're in the back or they may have slipped out, but I don't know. Itty Bitty Bobby was here this morning. Did y'all?
Yeah.
And she looks just like Bobby. Does she? Only she's that big. And so I'm going to change my confession. I need to start calling her Presley and not Itty Bitty Bobby. Not that we don't want her to look like you, but we don't want her to be Itty Bitty forever. Praise the Lord. She's darling. If you remember, I saw that baby in the spirit sitting in his lap before she was conceived. And I said, Bobby, I see a baby sitting in your lap. And so the family all went, oh, you know, and I didn't know if they were going to hit me with something because I didn't know if they even wanted kids. But then what, just how long was it? A couple of weeks later? Huh? It was just a couple of weeks later that they found out that she was going to have a baby. Isn't that cool? Bless their hearts. Anybody else want a baby in the house? Yeah? Father, in the name of Jesus, there's enough power right now, right here between these covenant people. In the name of Jesus, we declare a baby conceived in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. I gotta come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that baby. There's witnesses in the room. That's been one of the anointings on my life is when I prayed for people to conceive, they do. How many witnesses in the room? Yeah, that's how Deb got Jesse. Thank you, Jesus, along with some else's help there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Boy. But God gives you the power to do that. We're gonna raise up a whole new church of little bitties. We're a generational church. We have people that are old like Patty and Hector, and then we have the younger people like me. No. Yeah. He looks like Castro, I think. No, I'm kidding. No, I think he looks very pastorly. I don't know. Him and Art look so nice today. They're so dressed up. They look so handsome. All of you do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we're a family? Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up. So if you're here today, I feel like I need to just do this right here before we go. Listen, I'm going to talk to the TV audience. Are we still on? Okay. Hi. There's enough power at your house right now to change any situation. And if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, go talk to him now today. Just pray this with me. In fact, pray this with me right now. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Lord, and I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. I receive you as my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family. And we all are going to live on Victory Avenue in heaven. It's a nice long street. And so if y'all want to come live on the street, you may live by us in heaven. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good, church. He's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brother, sister, best days ever. Ask God for what you want because it's coming on the scene. Jesus' name. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. He's so good. He really, really is good. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to give life, life more abundant. Well, I don't want to be religious. Not about being religious. It's about being a friend of God. It's about being God's friend. It's about hanging around with people that love God. That's what life's about. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to win. Amen. You're going to win this year. You're going to win. You're going to win. Well, I'm just not emotional like y'all are. We don't care. We don't care if you're emotional or not. We're not going to come get you and try to get you to do anything. Just come. Learn. Yeah. Grow up in God. Yeah. Nobody's going to push you to do anything. But the truth is, if you'll keep staying in the Word, your life will just be put in a much higher place. Amen. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Resurrection Day.